This is the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. And have been broadcasting for the last 10 years. We've been homeschooling our children now for about 21 years. Dave Buhner also in studio, another homeschool dad of five. Just trying to put a little common sense back into the Western world. And we draw heavily from a biblical worldview because without that, friends, you are lost in a postmodern world of all kinds of craziness, including ethical relativism and everything else. We abandon rationality in a world without God. I think that's the best way to summarize what's going on in our world. And yet, Dave, I mean, you got to get a kick out of the fact that some kid chews his Pop-Tart into the shape of a gun in a public school, and he's expelled for it, or at least he's called on the carpet for it. I think he's a 7-year-old boy called on the carpet for chewing his Pop-Tart into the shape of a gun. Not the first time this has happened. I mean, these little boys come out of the womb with their fingers, you know, pointing like this. And then the first time they find a banana, what happens? The rest of the family is looking down the wrong end of a banana.
Right. It's all fun and games till somebody loses an eye.
Yep.
And then that banana's peeled and eaten.
Yep.
This was in Maryland. This is a 7-year-old.
A 7-year-old kid. Now, first of all, friends, if you want your kid to learn how to live in a fascist world, send them to a public school. Get them well trained so they'll know how to work under a Nazi regime where nothing is free and everything is controlled by the nanny pansy state. That's the kind of world you got in the public schools now. I can't believe that people still send their kids to these public schools. You know, Dave, Glenn Beck finally came unglued, and he said, you've got to get your kids out of the socialist schools. I mean, he said, I'm done with it. I'm done with it. Who in their right mind would send their kids to the socialist public schools? That's Glenn Beck. And he says, you know, hey, if we're trying to win any kind of a conservative battle, if we want to protect our children from the fascist state so they're not being programmed to live under the Orwellian 1984 state where they outlaw everything and they control every part of your life and every move you make, and they're on your game all the time, and they're removing you from the classroom because you chewed your Pop-Tart into the shape of a gun. Now, that's not what got him in trouble.
Well, no, because at that point, it could have been, he could have just said it was Oklahoma.
Or Idaho.
Or Idaho, or, yeah, or something else. And they would say, oh, hey, good imagination.
Idaho, geography, yeah, he's doing a good job, yeah. But he didn't leave it there. He chewed his Pop-Tart into the shape of a gun, and then he...
He said bang,
he
bang.
He said bang, bang. Yep. And the kid said bang, bang. That's pretty bad.
Well, there's some things you just can't... You can't say bang, bang in a crowded theater.
Mm-mm.
Or in a lunchroom, apparently.
Yeah. He's in big trouble. And Dave, they're recommending counseling for the rest of the school.
Well, they wrote a letter to go home with the students, the parents. The parents need to discuss this issue with their child and encourage their children to share their feelings, you know, to overcome the trauma. And they want the parents to know that there's a school counselor available to help them cope with this what George Will has called the post-pastry trauma syndrome.
Yes.
Because, you know, when you've been terrorized by a Pop-Tart,
you're going to get PPTS. Yep. It's PPTS. Yep. Post-Pop-Tart trauma syndrome, PPTS. Yep. And that's what happens, friends, in these public schools. You get a lot of PPTS when you have little boys chewing their Pop-Tart in the shape of a gun and saying bang, bang with it.
Kevin, okay. I'm told from an inside source that in the Colorado legislature today, They're going to introduce a bill limiting Pop-Tart boxes to less than 15. They're calling the box, by the way, a magazine. So 15 or less Pop-Tarts.
Okay. Okay, my friends. This is just nuts. These people are out of their minds. Dave, it's hard to know exactly what in the world these guys are doing. It is the pansy nanny state. But there's a paranoia about guns.
Paranoia?
It's crazy. It's irrational.
Irrational?
Irrational.
Look, there was a 5-year-old girl who is now on her school record called a terrorist threat. Okay, 5 years old.
She's 5 years old. Threat. Terrorist threat. Uh-huh. Right. What'd she do?
Well,
she's rolling hand grenades in the classrooms.
Worse. She had a Hello Kitty gun that like shoots out little bubbles. Uh-huh. You squeeze the trigger and it makes bubbles come out at the muzzle. And she was pointing that at other kids, terrorizing them with bubbles, which we all know what bubbles are.
The Hello
bubbles,
Kitty.
Bubbles are soap.
Yes. Right. And they pop. They don't hurt you.
Would you like to be soaped without your will?
Maybe you got one in the eye. Maybe somebody got it in the eye. A little soap in the eye.
Well, that could sting.
Yeah.
A terrorist. A terrorist.
These liberals are out of their minds. They run these schools. They call them public schools. Does anybody who listens to this program send their kids to these places? I don't think so. I don't think anybody who listens to our program sends kids to these places.
I hope not. You know, in this story by George Will, he starts out by talking about this pastor in St. Louis. And this just blows me away. He's having a buyback of toy guns.
And Pop-Tarts?
No. No.
All right. But Dave, if you're out there trying to control Pop-Tarts, it's only the cops are going to have donuts.
Right, right. When you start banning pastries, yeah. We know who the pastries are going to end up with.
Yeah, exactly.
Good for me, but not for thee.
Yeah. And there are all these bills now. You got a bill somewhere in Minnesota. You're going to need to go over that bill in Minnesota. Before you do that, I got a bill here in Virginia. I think, no, Maryland, Baltimore, Maryland. Here's a bill, Dave, that this proposed bill, students who form finger in shape of gun will not be suspended. So if you kind of do the L thing. Yeah, if you do the L thing, you will not be suspended, according to this bill. Can you believe this, that legislators now are taking up the issue? I mean, you know, aren't there like real crimes out there? Are there people getting raped and babies getting murdered in wombs and things? Isn't there something that cops and legislators could do with their time?
Maybe. But I just want to comment that times have really changed because I went to public school. When I was 7 years in public school, kids got suspended for making gestures, but it wasn't the index finger and the thumb that got them suspended.
Right.
It was their next door neighbor.
Yeah.
Today, I just don't understand kids. Now, my three boys all came out of the womb, and they would make the index finger.
Yeah, they're doing
gun.
The gun thing, right? Sure. Right. That's what boys do.
And I've tried to teach them that the auto pistol really involves both fingers,
the middle finger, because you get a little bit more. That's right. You have to have
the slider on top and the muzzle and the low.
Sure, right.
So that's a more proper gun. Now, I don't know if these kids are making a proper gun or not.
Well, maybe you should do a class on it, Dave.
This is how you make a good auto pistol.
That's a decent gun.
Right.
This is not a. You're right. Okay.
My fingers aren't long, so it's a snub nose.
So there's been a training program in your home.
Well, if you're going to learn to, if you're going to play with finger guns, you might have to do it safely.
Your kids are chewing everything into the shape of a gun. It's not just the Pop-Tarts.
Well, my kids are a little older now. My boys are a little older. They're actually
the real stuff. You got the real guns.
They're well defended.
Yeah. Okay. How about this Minnesota bill? This is George Will. George Will's having a blast with this issue.
Well,
it's fun going after the nanny state. It kind of is. But Dave, there's a bad edge to it because people really do get cut on these things, you know? How many stories have we talked about where local planning commissions and city councils and state governments are tyrannizing innocent citizens for not, you know, growing enough grass in their front yard, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there's just hundreds of thousands of laws out there trying to illegalize just about everything. 2-liter pop, I think we talked about that one last week. And it's just, you know, people abandoning the principles of God's laws eventually turn the state into a regulative nightmare, and they create tyrannies. And of course, they're as irrational as you can imagine. They create these states where they're controlling just about everything, every aspect of your life, and there's no sense for it. There's no method to their madness. I don't think there's a method to the madness anymore, Dave. I think they're just crazy. I think they're just out of their minds. And the people running these schools ought to be in insane asylums. Honestly, I think so.
I think they've lost rationality. Professing to become wise, they've become fools. I mean, this is language from a bill that is being entertained in Minnesota, has a very good chance of passing. Now, the bill is to...
Yeah, we're talking about Minnesota here.
We're talking about Minnesota.
We have to remember, this is Minnesota. Minnesota is the land of the pro wrestling governors.
Well, yeah, Jesse the Body Ventura was their governor. It's the land of the brain freeze.
Yeah.
It gets very cold.
Weren't they
up there.
First state that sent the first Muslim to Congress?
Keith Ellison.
That's right.
Yes. And out of the closet.
And we won't talk about all the others that they've sent to Congress.
Well, we should talk about Al Franken.
Well, there's that guy, yeah. So Minnesota, friends, probably the worst state in the union. Now, are there any conservatives in Minnesota? We hardly get anybody writing in from Minnesota. So if anybody listens to this radio show and you homeschool, you've got guns, and you believe in freedom, could you please at some point write into our program and say there is one rational mind in the state of Minnesota. That would be nice.
You can write.
Actually, I think I know one or two families in Minnesota, but yeah, it's almost nobody.
But they can't write until the ink thaws.
Okay.
So there's this bill. Okay. Now, Minnesota has one of the strongest teacher unions in the country.
Okay.
And that's important.
Which doesn't bode well.
No, it does not bode well. They want to stop bullying because apparently bullying is a big problem. Now, bullying.
Now, I've tried to stop bullying in my home. Now, I'm sure you've probably run into a little bullying in your home.
Yeah, and then my wife tells me to stop.
Yeah. or you know, one of the older kids is bullying one of the younger kids. Does that ever happen?
Well, they do.
Does that ever happen in any family in America? It happens all the time in pretty much every family in America, and it takes a lot of work. And you know, Dave, it takes a little more than the state coming up with some kind of stupid bill.
Did I mention I have three boys?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So there's probably multiple bullying incidents
bullying
going on.
And the bad thing now is that my sons are getting bigger than me. So if I haven't worked on now.
So this bill is against bullying.
It's against bullying. Now, bullying is a covert call for the acceptance of homosexuality. But in order to get that through, they have to call it bullying. And to create the nonsense, well, let's talk about the wording of the bill. This bill against bullying, it defines bullying may include, among other things. You always got to hate the among other things.
Yeah.
Conduct that
this is in the bill.
In the bill. That has a detrimental effect on students' emotional health. So algebra is right now out because algebra affects emotional health.
And forget about the algebra teacher. He's going to be arrested on this bill.
Well,
he's going to do time.
He has a detrimental effect on emotional health.
The algebra professor in the junior high classroom will do time.
For a lot of kids, gym is out of the question. Yeah. Physical ed, whatever you call it in your school.
Right. It sounds to me like a lot of people are going to do time because emotionally, you know, affecting somebody is pretty much something that happens every day in almost every relationship. Certainly in the public school classrooms, it happens.
Well, Kevin, if that wasn't enough.
Say, for example, that somebody takes an algebra test.
Okay.
Okay. Gets the wrong answer or gets 42% on the test. Okay. What is the emotional fallout?
Well, you could cover that bullying under the emotional health portion. However, I think there's a more apropos portion. It says, or conduct that creates or exacerbates a real or perceived imbalance of power between students' reasonable expectation of privacy. And then there's these behaviors that don't rise to the level of harassment that it relates to. And that's a great legal word, by the way. Actual perceived race, ethnicity, color, creed, religion, national origin, immigration status, sex, age, marital age, familial status, socioeconomic status, physical appearance, sexual orientation, general identity and expression, academic status, disability, social regard to public assistance, age, or any additional characteristic defined in another Minnesota statute.
That's a little broad. Shall we say that law is a little broad? That one's going to hit a lot of people.
But
it's gonna affect a lot.
What I want to say is that the grade relates to the academic status. Uh-huh. And creates a non-positive emotional health response.
So, man, we got a double whammy on that algebra professor.
Well, yeah.
He's done for. He's doing 25 years.
I'm kind of surprised that marital status is on here. I thought this was a school, but I didn't know there's a lot of 7-year-olds that were
married.
Maybe they're all unmarried. Yeah. Maybe it's future marital status they're talking about. This is lousy.
This is very,
language.
Very broad, friends. This is the way laws are written these days. I'm just saying, friends, you send these people to the legislature, people out of their minds. Typically, they call themselves liberals or Democrats. You're going to get some language like this, very, very broad language that will result in just about everybody heading off to the gulag in Siberia. This is the way laws are written, Dave, around the time of the Bolshevik Revolution. I mean, that's the kind of stuff, you know, opening it up to, you know, pretty much everything, any kind of detrimental effect on a student's emotional health or conduct that creates or exacerbates a real or perceived imbalance of power between students. Isn't that pretty much any time you wind up with two kids swinging and one swings a little faster and a little higher than the other one, and there's a little competition of perceived imbalance of powers here, Dave? It looks to me like you're going to be arresting every student in the classroom and every student in the playground on this bill. It's interesting that legislators are really setting out to put every single person in Minnesota in jail.
Or the public school, which is close to the same thing. Think about it, Kevin. One kid comes in. He's a little larger than another kid. That's an imbalance of power.
Yeah.
The larger kid says something to the little kid. He says, pipsqueak.
Hey, squirt.
Squirt. Yeah. That'll work. So squirt goes to the teacher. Yeah. And says, he called me Squirt. Now there's another imbalance of power because now Squirt has elicited a bigger gun.
Yes.
He's got the teacher.
Yes.
And the teacher says, hey, you bully. Now the bully is imbalanced with power with the Squirt and the teacher. Where does it end?
Does everybody understand this is what your legislators are doing in the Minnesota Capitol and in the Denver Capitol too? Dave, as it turns out, pretty much every lousy bill that went through the Denver Capitol just sailed on through. Now they're sitting at, on the desk of the governor right now, including the civil unions bill, which enables adoption and everything else, foster care for homosexuals and so forth and so on.
Kevin, at
so,
Twin Cities.
I mean, this is pretty much where we're headed, friends, because we elect these people, because our public schools are preparing these people to be the future leaders of America. And they are not being rooted and grounded in the principles of God's law. And so human law will dominate. And friends, when that happens, you're looking at revolution. Revolution on a civil level, and a revolution like the Bolshevik Revolution, the French Revolution, that wound up with a lot of people's heads rolling and a lot of people in prison and a lot of people in gulags. That's pretty much what happens when you abandon God's laws. Just about every one of the modern nations have gone this direction, and this is the direction America is going as well, unless we as Christians stand up and say, hey, it's the law of God that's the standard. And if you got the guts to establish a civil government, you have got to establish it based upon God's laws. And Dave, it would be nice if Christian pastors would teach their people this kind of stuff.
Kevin, the scope of this bill is even larger.
To the Minnesota bill?
The Minnesota bill is meant to address things like cyberbullying. Now, that means activities outside of school. Mm-hmm. They are going to regulate students' activities outside the school grounds, outside of school hours. Catherine Kirsten writes on TwinCities.com. She's a senior fellow for Conservative Center of American Experiment. She says that this bill is to send a message to students in protected groups that they have an absolute right not to have their feelings hurt or their views challenged. Now, that means we can't do scientific inquiry anymore. You get the wrong answer on your algebra test. You can't have your view challenged. You have an absolute right not to have your feelings hurt if they serve at the school lunch chicken on Friday and you're a vegetarian. Somebody's got to pay.
Okay. Dave, I was sort of surprised looking at the Colorado makeup of the 2013 House and Senate, about 10% homosexual. Interesting, isn't it? Of course, as you know, Dave, these liberal states like Colorado and Minnesota have worked very, very hard to bring a pro-homosexual agenda. And guys like Tim Gill have funneled probably tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars into campaigns here in Colorado. 10% of the legislators, roughly, are homosexual. Dave, that's higher than your average percentage out there.
Yeah, it does not reflect the population. But what it does reflect is a small minority who is eager and zealous to push an agenda. Now, generally conservatives, and I don't count myself conservative because they generally don't conserve anything. Generally conservatives want to be left alone. Their agenda is let's have no agendas. So those who have an agenda and zealously pursue that agenda don't have the opposition based on population or based on enthusiasm. They're able to get it through. So when somebody like Andrew Poulos and Tim Gill come into Colorado and they have gobs and gobs of money, they target at particular districts where they think they can get a homosexual or a liberal or a teacher union stooge in there.
Guess what, Dave? They're all Democrats.
All the
homosexual legislators are Democrats. And I knew that you.
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Okay. That was sarcasm.
But again, you know, why is it important they're Democrats? Because Democrats love to regulate and to control and to create big government in which they try to tax, to fine, to imprison as many of the innocent citizens as possible. They're tyrants. Democrats tend to be tyrants. They love big government. They love to tax the living daylights out of everybody. And they've never, hardly ever seen a regulation that they didn't like. And this is really the kind of world they want to make for us. They want to create a tyranny for the rest of us. This is what Democrats do, and this is what homosexuals do. We got about 10% of the House and Senate here in Colorado are homosexuals, and they happen to be Democrats. And they're out there to build a big government and to restrict as many freedoms, as many rights as possible for innocent citizens, who are actually just innocent people just trying to do their thing and live righteous lives without the molestation of tyrants like the Democrats, who will do their best to tyrannize as many people in Colorado, as many people in America as possible, unless we get a few people who are interested in freedom and a decrease in the purview of government in our lives elected as our leaders. Unless we get a little self-government out there, people with a little responsibility and self-government enough and motivation enough to get involved in politics and set this government in the right direction. Friends, freedom is a great concept, but it's going to take a lot of self-government and a lot of faith and courage to stand up and wage the fight for liberty and righteousness. And of course, that's why I wrote my book, The Second Mayflower. I would encourage you to grab a copy of my book, The Second Mayflower. It sets an agenda for freedom for the future, if you want freedom for your children and grandchildren in the years to come. Well, we'll be back in just a moment. We have more to share with you. Crazy stuff going on in our world. This is Kevin Swanson. Be back in just a moment.
Every year, Generations with Vision sponsors a family economics conference somewhere in America. This year, we are sponsoring two conferences, one in Washington State and the other in St. Louis, Missouri. For families who want to reintegrate the family into a family economic vision, for families who want to find ways to mentor their sons and daughters into the family economy, this is just the conference for you. How do you choose the optimum business streams for your family? How do you integrate your children into the family economy? What about budgets and debt and capital investments? And what about inheritance and taking care of grandpa and grandma along the way? We'll have young entrepreneur panels, mom and daughter panels, farming panels, retail and e-commerce panels, audience surveys, and some great keynote speakers, including free-range farmer Joel Salatin, entrepreneur Eric Weir, and Kevin Swanson. Join us for our four-day mega conference in St. Louis or the two-day fall conference in Olympia, Washington. Register today at FamilyEconomics.com. That's FamilyEconomics.com.
And we're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today and talking about the bully law from Minnesota. And it pretty much covers everything that anybody could possibly do. But David, I don't think it covers me because I've been bullied.
You've been bullied?
I've been bullied. I've been cyber bullied.
Cyber bullied.
I get cyber bullied all the time. I get people whining about me. HuffPost loves to whine about me.
Right Wing Watch?
Yeah, I think we're pretty much the program that HuffPost loves to hate. Anyway, I've been cyber bullied. We get phone bullied a lot. We get mail bullied. I've been TSA bullied.
You've been TSA bullied?
Yeah, I've been TSA bullied. And I've mentioned it to them. You know, I usually tell them, I don't appreciate this. I just tell them. I don't make a big deal out of it, you know, because I realize they're just, quote, doing their job. But I tell them, this is bullying. This is really an infringement of my freedoms as an American citizen. They said, yeah, but it's for the protection of everybody. It's the nanny state. It's the nanny state. It's the nanny state. We're trying to protect everybody. You know, security. Forget your freedom. It's all about security. It's about you living in a nice little womb where you feel really warm and well protected by the USSA, by the United Socialist States of America. That's usually how they respond. And I say, but I don't want security. I want freedom. That's how I respond. I say, you know, if I have a chance to create a little security for freedom, I'll take freedom any day. So, but unfortunately, about 90% of Americans, I guess, love the security of the state. And so they will sail their freedoms down the track for a little bit of security.
Kevin, I don't want to say it's morally equivalent, but I'm pretty sure there were some brown shirts sitting around some concentration camps who were just doing their job, flying Jews by the thousands. Who were saying it was for the security of Germany and so forth. So it sounds like the same language. Yeah. Now, of course, it's not, I'm not saying they're morally equivalent. I'm just saying that when those people say it's their job to break the law, they're going to break their law, and their job really doesn't defend them very much. You know, We get mail.
I've instructed some of them to be as easy as possible. I've instructed some of them not to infringe rights, but it, you know, unless you have probable cause, let's not submit these people to unlawful searches and seizures. I've told them that. I've said, just, you know, you have the opportunity to make it easy for some people, and I'd encourage you to do so.
Just this last week, Claire McCaskill, senator from Missouri, was chosen to be the special screening from the TSA. She didn't like it. She said it made her uncomfortable. She found it very personal and invasive. And I just would like to thank the TSA.
A tyrant getting tyrannized.
Yeah.
Be nice to, yeah. It's nice to see tyrants tyrannized, I guess. Just to get a little taste of the medicine.
Just to get a little taste. So they're not living separate lives.
Right.
Now, Rand Paul has actually missed a flight and not been able to make a speech because the TSA held him out. So, you know, it's an uncomfortable world when the tyrants reign.
Yep. Okay, folks, before we end the program, it appears that we got a very interesting story. My dad just sent this to me, Dave. The federal government has spent $1.5 million to find out why lesbians are so fat. I don't know what to say with this. You say anything, HuffPost is going to get really huffy. They're not going to appreciate this. That's right.
$150,000.
$1.5 million.
$1.5 million.
$1.5 million to find out why lesbians are so fat. Apparently, 75% of them are obese, and gay men are not. What do you say?
I think we say, hey, folks, that's all the time we have.
That's a lot of money, first of all. $1.5 million, that's a lot of money. That's taxpayer money.
That's a lot like of 25 money. Cents a pound.
That's a lot of money. Yeah.
Wow.
So speaking of tyranny, friends, this is where your government taxation is going. $1.5 million to find out why lesbians are so fat. Maybe they should obey God's law. Dave, you're amazingly self-controlled.
Only on the outside.
Okay. All right. And Dave, I mean, let's just say this, that it's a very, very sad day when, you know, government is funding stories to determine why adulterers are so fat, or why child molesters are so fat, or why bank robbers beat their wives, or why, you know, Dave, I mean, when governments have reduced themselves to this, you can pretty much bet on the fact that they have no interest whatsoever in morality, in the standards of God's law, in what God's law has to say about homosexuality. You know, Leviticus 18, Leviticus 20 stuff. I mean, they're just, according to Paul in Romans chapter 1, they are worthy of death. Dave, I mean, the obesity problem with lesbian homosexuality is really the last concern. I mean, I understand it's an issue, but it's biblically speaking, it's their last concern. They're on their way to hell. Whether they are going to hell, obese or not obese, that's irrelevant. The fact is, if they're living a homosexual lifestyle and refuse to repent of their sin, the Bible says no homosexual shall inherit the kingdom of God. No fornicator, no liar. Those who refuse to repent of these basic sins in their lives, and they don't, and they refuse to deal with the fact they're breaking God's law, and they will not come to faith in Jesus Christ, ask for forgiveness of their sins, their sin of homosexuality, and repent of these sins, will not receive the kingdom of God. They will be outside of the kingdom of God, and they're destined to hell. And it's our responsibility, I think, to continue to call them to repentance. And really, it's irrelevant that they're heavy set, they're overweight. Obviously, they've got social issues. Obviously, it's a complete unraveling of a social system. There are no fathers, there are no husbands, there are no decent relationships that have been established by God. There's no social system that's been established by God that's in any way healthy. So what you have is one big, fat, dysfunctional situation, and it's going to reveal itself in many, many, many different ways. At one point, Dave, the average homosexual lived till 42 years of age. I don't know where that average is today. That was where the numbers I had received about 10 or 15 years ago. I have no idea where their lifespan is today. My guess is that it's not going to be 76 years of age for the average homosexual. They're not living to be 76 years of age, whether or not they get HIV and AIDS.
Kevin, I don't know. I can say this. I'll take like 100,000 of this from the government. One of the reasons they're not fat is because of childbirth. Yeah. They're lesbians. They're not having children. So can't use that excuse. I would like to ask the federal government, however, where in the enumerated powers, where would they find the constitutional authority to fund a study on fat lesbians?
It's the Commerce Clause.
Okay. Because they're going between states. And
if they're too heavy, maybe they can't. you know, well, make it from one state to the next.
Just find yourself a big Ford F-350 and take a look. And my third question would be, are lesbians fat or are fat people becoming lesbians? You know, which is the horse, which is the cart? So we can get the order right. You know, this this story is unsavory. Mm-hmm. And it's too easy to become the scorner. Mm-hmm. So rather than that, I think what we should say to all people is, fear God, keep his commandments, and live.
Yeah. Okay, friends. Well, it's a crazy world out there, and these are examples. These are examples, and we bring them out to you, number one, because you are taxpayers. Number two, because you are citizens of this country. Number three, you elect these leaders that advocate these sorts of things. And number four, I think we have a responsibility to introduce some level of rationality. And the only possibility for rationality when it comes to human ethics and human government is the standards of God's law. You abandon the standards of God's laws, you're going to get all kinds of wild dysfunctionalities and insanities in public schools and in our civil governments. So, and you're going to be tyrannized too. You're going to find that governments will increasingly tyrannize you. So it's either God's law or bust. It's either use God's law as the standard for governments and for human ethics, or just forget about it. That's the lesson on today's edition of the Generations Broadcast. You can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also get a copy of my book, The Second Mayflower, at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.